Joe Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast or shoot us an email anytime at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. Today, Mike and I tackle the PGA Championship, talk a little NFL preseason, talk about everyone's favorite subject, steroids in Major League Baseball, a little TV review in the pop culture corner. And Mike will bring us home with a beer suggestion of Mike's Beer Blast. So, Mike, how you doing, man?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there.
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. We're halfway through the week here.
Another little hiatus in our podcast, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, this is definitely good. I think as the summer comes to a close, I feel like you get more and more to talk about.
Yeah, you know, I just always get that excited feeling once preseason starts because I know football is so close.
Yep, yeah.
You know, to think Penn State football is a few weeks away is, it's awesome.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. Probably won't touch much on them today, but I'd like to cover them in the next couple coming weeks.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the season's right around the corner. This past weekend, I know this has closed out the majors, right, for golf?
Yeah, I shed a tear. It was tough. It was tough, man. It was so. You know, I was talking to my buddy, and I'm with him. I don't know why, but I get so angry when he doesn't play good.
Yeah,
because I just love watching him, you know, tear up a course. And sure enough, he had his chances again. I mean, he was hitting some shots in close. You know, on that I think it was the first or the second day. He hit a couple close shots on a par 3. He had a chance to go 2 or 3 under, just not converting, even on short putts. It's like that's the Tiger of old is not there. And you had such a great, you know, week at Firestone, I think it was, the week before.
Right, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But, you know, one of the announcers made a comment that course is just long and straight, and I think there's only one tee box that you really have to shape a shot. So, a course like Oak Hill where you gotta shape shots. You can't hit a lot of drivers, and you have to hit it in a pretty small area. Tiger he wasn't even hitting irons in small areas sometimes, too. It just that he didn't look himself, and it made me angry. And then, of course, you know, when he's 14 back on Sunday, I still think of myself, oh, Tiger birdie the every hole.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People, I don't think you're by yourself there with that.
Run at it, but it's just very difficult to see him be an average golfer.
Yeah, I can understand that. When he's struggling like that, at least for major tournaments, can you still get an enjoyment of watching the event, though?
Yeah, I mean, I love golf. Sure, so, yeah. Duffner, I'm sure he's a nice guy. No emotion whatsoever.
No, yeah.
Yeah. I was pulling for Lee Westwood because he just seems like a good guy. And he's been there on the top of the major. Yeah, it seems like for the last 2 years, his name's always up there. And, you know, he's had some chances to win it too. And he just never converts. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot of big names, you know. You had Rory was up there, too. You had Westwood. You had Scott. I think you had Dustin Johnson was up there. So, it was a great, you know, final four or five pairings. But Duffner just hit some unbelievable iron shots, you know. He said it best at the end. You know, even if he didn't find the center cut of the fairway, he managed to hit greens
and
get close to the pin on the greens. And, you know, he duffed a couple 3 or 4 foot putts, but it didn't matter because he just kept on hitting those greens and he hit some really, really good shots. So, yeah, it was impressive to see him play. And, yeah, I love the event. You know, I love watching any major. I love golf. Yeah. So. It just, yeah, it makes it a little more bitter to watch when Tiger's not. You know, like I said, favorite thing in the world is Tiger in the last group at a major.
Yeah,
on
great.
A Sunday. Watching that 4 hour stretch, I love it.
Yeah, draw. I think it draws just anyone who's got a remote interest in golf is going to, you know, tune in for that. Yeah, so I like that as well. Even though he didn't win a major this year, but, you know, Tiger won a handful of tournaments. Yeah. Do you think it's still in realm that he could, you know, win golf for the year without winning a major?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's, hands down has won, you know, more tournaments than everybody else. And he's at the top of the FedEx rankings. I wouldn't be surprised if he won the, I mean, if he wins the FedEx Cup and has four or five tournaments under his belt, I think it's five now.
Yeah,
I think so too. There's no way you can't give it to him.
Sure, yeah.
You know, even if he didn't win a major. So, yeah, absolutely. He should be one of the top candidates for that.
Yeah, and then your friend you made the bet with, is he getting is he getting a little cocky on you?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him about it. He probably doesn't even remember the bet. Okay. But yeah, I'm getting a little nervous. He needs to start churning out some majors sometime soon. I think this is his biggest drought on majors. So, you know, and but he's going through a lot. You know,
yeah,
since
true.
His last major win.
Oh, absolutely.
Had some life crises, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay, yeah, I'm hoping he finds a way. Cause I think it's been a fun chase so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and there's been a lot of talk that, you know, Tiger, you know, back in his day, you know, he was just so good he could show up to any course and dominate it. Where it's now getting to the point where he needs to put the time in a little bit more to show up earlier to these venues and, you know, figure them out. You know, that's why he wins all these World Golf Championships. He just knows the course so well.
That's a good point,
and
yeah.
The greens putt so well for him. So I think his first breakthrough, if anything, is probably going to be the Masters, just because it seems like he knows that course.
That's true. It's familiar. Yeah.
More than any other, because it's, you know, it's the same course
every
year.
Yep.
And he's dominated it before, so he knows what he needs to do to win that major. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the next major he wins.
That would make sense. Yeah, like you said, that familiarity with the course. He seems to be doing that with the other tournaments he's been winning. So, yeah, I could see that being the next one. And, you know, it's a lot of success there, to say the least.
Hopefully it's the next. Hopefully it is Augusta next year.
Well, I have my fingers crossed for it. I hate to see it. Have to pony up for that trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool, man. So we'll see how the rest of the season goes, and I have a feeling he'll straighten it out. I know some people have kind of written him off, but
yeah,
I think he'll find he's too talented not to. You know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's still young in the grand scheme of things. You
exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
Not even 40 yet. You know, you look at these guys now into their early 50s can be, you know, have potential to win majors.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the key things for him is that he started winning so young. So
yeah,
it's given him plenty of time to play catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at Tom Watson, he almost won the British a couple years
ago. Exactly, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a number. So we look at, as you mentioned, you know, football's right around the corner. Just, you know, watching SportsCenter stuff this week, I've seen a lot of RG3 press conferences.
Yeah.
It's been funny to watch, like, the back and forth between him and Shanahan about as far as him playing. And as a Redskins fan yourself, how have you just found, like, you know, Shanahan taking that kind of hard stance with RG3 to saying, you know, you're...
You know, I like it. Yeah. I almost want to put RG... You know, I think RG3 is a little bit to blame. I understand he's an ambitious person. He's a fighter. He's a go-getter. I mean, you have that mentality if you're as good as he is, you know? You have to have that thought process, but you know, you can't, and you know, a lot of it's media spin too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. They bait him a little bit with their questioning.
Yeah, I'm sure they bait him with the question. You know, he's gonna soak that up, but you know, whatever they say behind closed doors, I think should stay behind closed doors. And you know, I think he came out on Tuesday and said, you know, there's no tiff between me and the coach, and,
exactly. Yeah,
you know, yep. Mm-hmm. I understand the process, and you know, he just maybe needs to keep his mouth shut a little bit more. So as long as he does that, and you know, like I said, I think the media is probably spinning it out of control. I feel like it's like a father son relationship, you know.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So,
son wants to do something, but dad's like, you know, trying to father knows best, kind of. Yeah,
yeah. I think Shanahan learned his lesson the hard way, and he's going to stick to the plan of what the doctors are telling him, and he's not going to waver from it, you know.
Do you see him getting – because week three, I think, is like the big game where the starters usually get a lot of playing time. Do you think they'll suit him up for that one?
I think he'll suit himself up.
Okay.
I don't think he'll play.
I gotcha, yeah.
You know, you saw him in full pads the first game, too, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He does those little things to kind of make a statement, you know. He's pissed. I don't even think he's playing 11-on-11 drills yet.
I don't think so.
So, and he thought he would have been doing that a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, if he's not doing that, they're not throwing him in a preseason game.
Yeah.
I think he'll make his debut on the Eagles game.
Okay. That'll be interesting to see him go if he goes.
I wouldn't even be surprised if he didn't make his debut till, I don't know, second half. I don't let Cousins see what he can do. And, you know, if Cousins is winning the game and it seems like, you know, if they can win handily, maybe leave him out for another game, give him some more rest.
Yeah, man, if he's ticked off about sitting out preseason games, imagine how he's going to be if he doesn't get – I saw his last press conference. He said, I think, pretty defiantly that he's going to be playing week one. So
yeah.
So, yeah, if that's not the case, I can only imagine how things are going to be from there. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think there is the media kind of hypes it up a little bit more than really needs to be. But I also think, as far as Griffin's concerned, I think he has been probably a little bit too outspoken about this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy how, I mean, he's really taken over the headlines. I just don't remember a football player in recent memory being talked about so much.
No, not even guys, you know, like Manning or Brady or something like that, you know.
I mean, it's just a phenomenon. It's crazy. He's a superstar.
He is. And when you think back to, like, when Peterson got hurt last year, there wasn't, like, this eye on his return, you know, last season. It's just, like, he was back, and that was pretty much it, where I feel like, you know, every story, with, you know, what RG3 does at practice, you know, it's just, I feel like everything's being reported on.
Absolutely.
And maybe us living in this area probably seems, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like he's on SportsCenter every other headline, too, you know, so it is national media.
So it is just funny. And how much do you follow into, like, preseason games? Are you kind of just, like, watch me, like, you watch?
You know, I just have been listening to the local radio breakdown of it, you know, and, you know, they've given him a grade of, you know, B-.
Okay.
You know, it's everything you could expect or want from a, you know, a normal preseason game. Only one injury, I think. And then the defense looked porous. He thought it would be a little bit better. And everyone was making a big stink about Rambo getting blown away. But he's a rookie, and he just got caught flat-footed with one of the best running backs in the league, you know, coming full bore at you.
Yeah.
It's not many DBs are going to be able to stop that, especially when you're a rookie. So, yeah, people are making a stink, but, you know, I thought Cousins looked awesome. Pat White even did a little name for himself, which was impressive. And, Halu looked great back from injury, so I think we'll have a solid running back core. I think the big question is, you know, the lines, though, and the defensive line. We'll see what happens. And then Arakpo, the other shocker was it seemed some of their starters stayed out there a lot longer than they thought they would.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, see, the Arakpo has been hurt for so long, they just wanted to get him
real game time. Sure, yeah. He's going to be key for them this year.
Yeah, and I think this week, I think we have the Monday night game. Or is there a Monday night?
I think there might be. I think that might, yeah. I can't remember the teams. But yeah, I think that.
Yeah, I think the Skins might be.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were, I think I remember reading, they might treat this Monday night game like their third game.
Oh, okay.
Because since their third game, they only have a little more time to recover for the Saturday game.
Sure.
Because I think it's Monday night, then the following Saturday they have a game. So instead of wearing them out on Monday and then treating Game 3 like Game 3 should be, they're going to treat Monday like Game 3.
Okay.
Even though it's Game 2.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
How about your boys?
They did okay. I was, you know, for me with preseason, it's just like, let's just get, you know, get the guys a few reps and try to get everybody out without getting hurt. So that's always my main concern. You just try to see what you can see what the team has, and you know, the first unit put up some decent numbers. You know, Bradford looked okay. I'm glad he was able to come out unscathed, and unfortunately, on their offensive line, Saffold, I think, suffered a shoulder injury, so I'm not sure how long he's going to be out.
Yeah.
Just hate to see that, especially on the offensive line. It's just so important.
Yeah, I feel like until I get paid, you know, doing this, I'm not watching a whole preseason game.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why for me, I've always just, you know, especially the first week, it's like you watch maybe if the guys are in there for the first full quarter, that's a lot to me. So
yeah, and I always hype myself up. I'm like, football started, and I'm going to watch this whole preseason game. It's going to be awesome. And then, like you said, after the first quarter, you're like, all right, I'm done.
Exactly, yeah, because I remember it happened to me the Cowboys-Dolphins Hall of Fame game. I was like, oh, football's back on TV. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I watch, and Romo didn't even start for the Cowboys. You know, yeah. He didn't even play. So it's like I watch a little bit, and I'm like, oh, all right, you know, what else is on? You know?
It's like the Pro Bowl. You get excited. You're like, I'll watch the Pro Bowl. And then you watch it, and you're like, this is horrible.
Exactly. So, yeah, so to me, it's just like once the preseason starts, it kind of gets me – it does get me in the mood for football.
Yeah.
But then it's just kind of like, all right, let's get through these 4 weeks and get, you know, week one underway.
Yeah, the new Xbox is coming out, and I'm really interested to see. They have some pretty cool. They have a deal with the NFL. I don't know if it's going to be ready for this season. Probably not. But they have some pretty cool interactive fantasy football widgets and stuff that's supposed to pop up on your TV.
Okay.
But I probably won't be until next season.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so we'll have to make sure next week we'll get into some fantasy stuff to see how you're...
My fantasy... draft.
I was wondering about that.
A bunch of emails popping back and forth right now about Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to go, but I've got one of the hottest rosters out there because I drafted all young guys.
So. Oh, good. Yeah.
And a couple trade offers already, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. So you're in a keeper league then?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. That's the way to go. Yeah, younger guys, and those are. That's who seems
I blew
to be...
my whole team up last year and drafted all rookies pretty much. It's one of those rare years that, you know, one out of eight rookies is usually going to hit.
Exactly, yeah.
Where all of my rookies hit, yeah. You know. Got Steven Ridley, Muscle Hamster. What the heck is his name? What is his name? I can't. Doug Martin.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Doug Martin, Locke, Trent Richardson.
Yeah, oh, wow.
I just got like all the good ones. So, yeah, it worked out.
Sweet. That's a good job. That's a really good job. So, yeah, so we a few more weeks to suffer through for the preseason. And we'll be back. And then between that and college, we'll have a lot of football to discuss.
Yeah, we can talk Penn State here soon. Try to get Dave and JJ on.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And then, like I said, everyone's favorite topic is steroids in baseball. They had the suspensions handed down. About everyone took their medicine and is going to sit out for 50 games, except for A-Rod, which, yep. I got to be honest, it's just watching Yankee games. It's just so odd watching him suit up and play every day, even though he's got this 200-game suspension hanging over his head.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, I was watching a game. He hit a two-run double, and everyone's cheering for him. And then the next bat, he strikes out and he's getting booed.
I was wondering how the fans are reacting. So when he's good, they're happy. When he's bad,
he hears it exactly. Yeah. So like on Sunday, he had his first home run of the season. Of course, he got cheered. But the couple games before, I think he struck out three times and he heard it every single time. So
interesting.
It's just it's like basically they're judging him at bat by at bat, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. And like his first game back was on the road, so he just got booed lustily.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So it's been, but it's just like, it's just so like surreal, like watching him play every day. Like, there's nothing going on, But I think this appeal he put out is not going to be heard until after the season. So he's basically going to play.
Yeah, he's good
the rest of the year. So yeah, these guys got suspended, and just I couldn't help but wonder if this is going to deter guys from using drugs, or if people are still going to try to think it won't happen to me, and they're still going to try to. To find an edge,
I heard an interesting comment about it that one guy's theory was they take it to get the payday, and then once they get the payday, they stop.
Yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's an interesting theory, and I don't see why. I mean, these guys are making massive amounts of money.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
You know, if somebody get squeaked by, and then. Have a chance to get this $100 million payday and then stop and maybe get away with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think guys might keep on trying to do it.
I think so. Especially like you said, guys who aren't making, a lot.
Yeah.
Because, That's why I was surprised with A-Rod. See, when he admitted, you know, that he used them during his days in Texas, he'd already gotten his $250 million contract.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any reason to do that. But then you're held to that standard, you know.
I think you're trying to live up to it. Yeah,
you're just trying to live up to that hype, and you have so much pressure if you don't deliver. You know, you got this huge paycheck, and then you're doing nothing. So, yeah, I can't imagine the pressure they go through, you know, because you have to perform at an elite level all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so that pressure is always going to be there, and everyone's going to want to be bigger, faster, and stronger. So I don't think they'll ever go away. Plus, it's a way for, you know, these medical companies to make a good amount of money too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when there's money to be made, it's always going to happen.
Yeah. There's, you're never going to remove the cheats unless they really make the punishment stronger.
Yeah.
I think right now it's like 50 games, 100 games, then lifetime ban. If the lifetime ban is a third strike, then most guys are willing to take that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to take a season or a couple seasons, you know. Well, I mean, you're out 50 games. That's a big chunk of the season. And then out 100, that's a huge chunk. But
yeah.
Why? I'll take two strikes to get a $150 million paycheck, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's right. Yeah, because I know some guys want to do it when I install a one-and-done policy.
Yeah.
But like I know, at one point it's made that's a dangerous game because sometimes there are false positives that turn up, you know. And
absolutely. I mean, I think maybe a one, you know, a hefty one time 100 game ban, and then after that you're done.
You're out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's more fair.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone deserves a second chance.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm with you. I just would be shocked if it's ever out of the game 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you said with technology and medicine, I'm sure more and more companies are going to try to find things that are undetectable. You know, everyone's going to try to come up with something that they think can't be found in tests. So, so it's a shame. I don't think it'll ever be 100% out, but it's good to see more players are standing up and saying we need to get rid of it. Because I think, you know, years past, you know, baseball kind of turned a blind eye to it, and players were fine. No one spoke up, and I feel more and more players are more active in cleaning the game up. So that's the first step, is the players being on board with it.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, so I guess A-Rod will, you know, keep playing this season, and you know, he's been actually hitting the ball better than I thought he was going to. To be honest, I thought he was away for so long that he would just be kind of like he was at the end of last season, just, you know, a strikeout machine. But he's doing all right.
Yeah.
So that's I'm fine with that. I want to. My fierce forecast: the Yankees beating the over of 86 games. You know, they need all the help they can get to get there. So we'll see how the rest of that season goes. And then I was wondering, with move on to the pop culture corner, how your summer TV viewing's going? I think
I've been slacking a little bit, but I did catch up with True Blood.
Okay, because I wonder about that, because I think the finale is this coming Sunday.
So it's been good so far. All the vampires are free, and it'll be interesting to see how they react after the humans kind of cooped them up and started testing on them. And it looks like Bill was right, and the visions that he had, you know, everyone thought he was crazy at first, but they were all going to die. And so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him. And then Eric, he just flew up into the sky. No one knows where he went right at the end.
Interesting.
He just, like, blasted into the universe. So I don't know what that means. And and I think, are they on for another season?
Or? I believe so, yeah, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think next year sometime, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think it's been one of the better seasons. It's kind of revived itself a little bit.
That's impressive, 6 years in.
Yeah. I think, and I think it's because they don't, you know, they didn't have any crazy new race or mythical creature.
Okay, yeah.
In this episode, they're more centering on the vampire-human conflict.
Gotcha,
and
okay.
I think that's what made it good.
A lot of times, less is more with TV shows, you know?
Yeah. So what it started off with, the whole struggle of, you know, how do you deal with vampires in regular society, it's been good, so I like it.
Good, yeah. Like I said, yeah, next week will be the season finale, and I'm trying to think what else has been going on with, and I guess there's also, have you Are you up on Dexter still?
I think I'm an episode behind, but I'm loving Dexter.
Good.
I think it's good. You know, I think it's interesting to see him meet his maker and just how he's dealing with that. I think it's been really interesting. And finally, Deb is, like, not drunk and annoying.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
Where she's come to grips with what Dexter is.
And yeah.
She's kind of willing to help him out now. So now that she doesn't have as big as a role, I think it's really helped out the show because it was just getting really, really annoying.
Yeah, because I thought her scenes early on were just almost, like, unwatchable.
Oh, my gosh. They were horrible. Horrible. So, yeah, now that that's done and over with, I think it's gotten a lot better. And I think this will be a good ending to a series. So.
Yeah, you want shows to go out on a strong note that you followed from the beginning.
Yeah, I think they're doing a pretty good job. And Ray Donovan, I've been slacking on that. Have you been keeping up with it?
Yeah, I watched the most recent episode this past week.
How is it?
It's been good. It's been pretty good. It's just... as long as they keep the focus on certain things, I think it's really good. Like, obviously, you know, Ray, the main character, his trials, have been good, and, you know, his conflict with his dad. And he actually, this past week, he actually went home to Boston.
Oh, okay.
So that was interesting to see him kind of back in his, his hometown. So that was a different look. I thought that was pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying the show. And like I said, and there's, you know, it's layered well. I think just with the stuff with his brothers, I think they're both interesting characters with what they have going on.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes a show like that where it's centered on one guy, like the fringe characters can be kind of interesting and not, you know, very deep.
Yeah.
So the fact that they gave both of his brothers, you know, good storylines as well, it's kind of rare.
Yeah.
And then also just the newsroom I've been kind of up and down on.
Yeah, I heard it's so-so.
Yeah, so I just kind of accept that show for kind of what it is.
Yeah.
So the overarching story arc is kind of, I think, looks kind of interesting. They just need to kind of get going with it. I feel like they kind of teased it in the season premiere, and then it's kind of been here and there. But, you know, it's kind of like, all right, let's just get to this lawsuit that they're facing, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's been good. And then on the big screen, I saw a couple stories over the last couple weeks. Just there's a story about, which I saw the Expendables 3, I think Harrison Ford is replacing Bruce Willis, because I think Bruce Willis was going to be shooting for 4 days and wanted $1 million a day or something like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And there was also something trending about Fast 7.
Yeah.
And both of those things just shocked me. So what are you more surprised that there's going to be an Expendables 3 or a Fast and Furious 7?
I think I got to go with Fast and Furious 7. Yeah. I mean, Expendables 3, it's just like all of these huge name action heroes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of understandable because, you know, there's a wide range of people that are just going to like one of those actors.
Yeah.
You know?
Because guys like us, we grew up with Arnold and Stallone and stuff like that. And like the newer, younger guys like, you know, Jason Statham and stuff like that. So you're right. It's a good point that.
Yeah, but in the Fast and Furious, you got Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, which is so. Yeah. I had a lazy day afternoon and I watched, I think, Fast 5.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, it's mindless stuff, but it is entertaining.
Exactly.
If you like cars.
Uh huh.
So yeah, I mean, it wasn't a horrible watch, and it, you know, it's a good way to fill the void.
Sure. Exactly.
So I think that's why it works. I mean, sometimes people just want to see fast cars and some action.
Exactly.
They
yeah.
You don't even like. You're more into like the plot and how, you know, how they're gonna plan to steal these cars
or whatever. Yeah.
What next car you're gonna see? Kind of the acting just goes by the wayside.
Exactly. When you go to see a movie like that, you're not going to see like, you know, dramatic performances and, you know, Oscar winning stuff. You know, you're going there for, like you said, fast cars, heists, you know, maybe a pretty girl here or there, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah. But the fact there's seven of them, that's shocking.
Yeah. After I saw the first one, I'm like, oh, that's a cool concept. And then, then it's like, oh, too fast, too furious. All right, they made money, so they want to make a second one. Yeah. And then from there, it's just like, wow. It's just,
they might have found the formula for the big screen.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
A couple companies might try to copy them.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Yeah,
just, you know, find this like a very, very basic concept. That's the key. You see with TV now, too, that a lot of the higher rated shows are ones that are really, really broad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the more like, you know, niche shows, like something like Parks and Recreation is funny and critically acclaimed, but it's not, you know, highly watched. You've seen like Two and a Half Men, Big Bang Theory to get millions and millions of viewers because they're just so broad and they touch on all different types of audiences. So,
or shows that last forever that just kind of adapt the whatever's popular in pop culture, the news, like a South Park.
Exactly, yep.
You know, or Simpsons, you know, they're doing... Yeah, they're doing stuff people can relate to on an everyday basis.
Exactly, yeah.
Which I think is another great way to go.
I agree, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So that's why I think you're right. More movies, I think, are going to look to more... A lot of, you know, especially during the summer, it's a lot of action movies and such. So
yeah,
that's why they put them out during the summer.
Yeah, huge blockbusters with explosions and big actors and huge budgets.
That's why they put them in the summer, and all like the Oscar type stuff is more like during the fall winter time.
Yep,
it's smart. It's smart. Smart marketing there. And then lastly, I just want to look, take a look and see if you got anything brewing in the beer blast.
You know, I haven't drank a ton lately. But I was gonna bring up they actually had Flying Dog in True Blood.
Oh, how about that?
And they like pointed out a couple times Terry, the one guy that died. I don't know if you know his character. He was the cook.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
Cook at the restaurant.
Sure, yeah.
And he went crazy because of the things that happened over in Iraq.
Yeah.
And he ended up putting a hit on himself. Because he didn't want to hurt anybody else. So he died, but they were doing a flashback. And right when he came back from Iraq, he was all messed up in the head. And he was stuck in the woods in his camouflage. And his cousin was trying to get him out. And the only thing that would get him out is this beer called Raging Bitch by Flying Dog. It's a Belgian IPA.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not a huge fan of their beer. But that's one of the beers that I do really like. And... DC metro area, you can find it, you know, anywhere, pretty much in any beer store that has a half a selection of craft beer.
Okay.
It's strong. I think it's probably upwards of 8-9%.
Oh, wow.
Pretty hoppy. But it's definitely a tasty brew. So I thought it made sense to bring that up since they debuted it in True Blood and they got kind of a national shout out there.
Yeah, very much so.
So definitely try some Raging Bitch by Flying Dog if you ever get a chance.
Nice. That's interesting that you think like on a TV show that it would be a more common beer. It would be kind of...
Yeah. And when that's how they sold it is, you know, it's a hard beer to find, especially down where they are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In Louisiana.
Yeah. Yep.
So... Sam got, you know, his distributor to special order some Raging Bitch for him. So I thought that was really interesting that they got the shout out.
Sweet. Well, that is good stuff. So, yeah, man, this has been good. It's good to get back on the air.
It always is. I love it.
Yeah, it's been fun. And like you said, we'll get ready to do some college football preview, NFL preview. Mike will... give you some fantasy tips, I think, coming up. You
know? Yeah. We'll talk about the fantasy coming up. It's going to be lots of football. And like I said, hopefully get my buddies on here and we can talk some Penn State banter. And
yes.
Talk about the season. Pretty much I could break that down in a couple sentences. If any one of their starters gets hurt, they're screwed.
Okay.
That's pretty much the bottom line for Penn State. They're going to be picking somebody off the street. So... Yeah, they're just very thin, and that's what happens with that scholarship limit. But, you know, it makes me a little upset. What would we be if we didn't have that?
Exactly,
Off the, what Bill O'Brien did with, why can't I think of his name? Starting quarterback from last year. With our starting quarterback from last year, what Bill O'Brien did with him was unbelievable. I mean, he was not the greatest quarterback in the world, and I think he's now on like the third string of the Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
So McGloin, why could I not think of his name? Yeah, Matt McGloin. So he was subpar at best before O'Brien came.
Yeah.
And he turned McGloin into one of the most efficient passers in the Big Ten, which is impressive. And now he's fighting for a roster spot with a NFL team.
Yeah, that's. You know? That's a really good turnaround.
Yeah, I read, you know, a couple on the forum, there were a couple links to, like, you know, LA blogs saying that, you know, who's been the most impressive or kind of, like, standout eye-popper in training camp, and it was McGloin kind of making a name for himself.
Nice.
So that was great. I thought that was pretty impressive.
And one last college football note. What's your gut say? Do you think Johnny Football profited off of those autographs?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of times when there's that much smoke, there's definitely fire, right?
Yeah. It's that'll be a conversation. I'm curious to pick your brain about that. It's just how these college athletes, everyone gets a profit off of them besides themselves. So
yeah, I don't think it's fair at all. But I mean, the rules are the rules.
Yeah.
And when you're that popular, how can you be so stupid?
Yeah.
You know it's going to come back to bite you.
Exactly.
Just don't do it.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. You know, you're going to be making millions of dollars in the next couple years of your life. Granted, if he got hurt, he would be screwed. But I mean, he just must have surrounded him with a couple bad people. You
exactly.
Know?
Yeah. That's what happens sometimes.
That happens. But, you would think these kids would be a little bit smarter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially with all the scandals that's happened with, Ohio State had the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not like they didn't know about that.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm sure they read articles about exactly what happened.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was not national news or anything, you know? I mean,
yeah. I mean, the only thing that, you know, might have happened is someone said, hey, sign these footballs or helmets, and he didn't know where they ended up
out or something. Yeah,
you know, and if something happens like that, that kind of sucks.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with their season. So, but yeah, this has been good. So as always, you can follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast, and anytime you can email us at the GD Podcast @gmail.com. For Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.